Here we are, clear up here in this 21st century. The church is competing with the most impressive media and impressive movie industry. And you're looking at TV during the week. You're seeing at least 15 or 20 people killed. You're seeing car wrecks. You're seeing blood and gore. And then you come in a place like this and say, okay, impress me. That's what's really going on out there in the world. Every ad out there is designed to get you to break the 10th commandment. They want you to covet what they've got for sale and want it to where you go into hock to get it. And here you are, you come into church and it's kind of like, okay, well, we're here, we're doing what we're supposed to do. Well, there's more going on than meets the eye once again. Back over in Psalms 139, 14, and we're going to look at the ear again this morning, but I just want to lay a little more groundwork for you, some things that are missing in most of our Christian education. What's that? The meaning of the Word of God. We think we understand it, and God says, you don't know as you ought to know. We know things, but we just don't know like we should know. Psalms 139, 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And of course, you know, we've already covered this a bunch of times, but that word fearfully, that's what really got me started in this thing. When I looked up the definition of it, I was impressed. Simply, if God's going to make you in such a manner to impress admiration and astonishment, then He's got more purpose in how He made you than just have a man and a woman. He's got more going on there. And unfortunately, when you look back through the Word of God, the miracles that Jesus Christ performed, and even the ones prior to that in the Old Testament, here's the children of Israel after they watched all the miracles. We think about Pharaoh and the Red Sea. That was small by comparison. Darkness that can be felt, frogs everywhere, flies, lice, the eldest dying in every house. Those things should have impressed anybody. And yet they just almost immediately forget. The people just miss it. They just miss the whole thing. Why? Because our attention's still not on our Creator where it ought to be. But He says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. What do you think the meaning of some of those words are in there? We already looked at fearfully. How about marvelous? Marvelous means wonderful, strange, exciting wonder, or some strange degree of surprise. I don't know about you, but I've learned some things about my ears and the way God made my ears and designed them that really surprised me. I mean, to think that you've got an eardrum that can measure the movement of 1/10 the diameter of a hydrogen molecule, I mean, it just absolutely blows me away. Can you imagine trying to see a hydrogen molecule with an electron microscope? That's just unbelievable to me. And then having moving joints through those bones without any slop or play in them at all to be able to continue that movement on through without losing it in the joints. Anyway, it says, marvelous is surpassing credit or incredible. That's what marvelous is. He said, marvelous are thy works. They should be incredible to us. Not only that, he's got wonderfully made. Not just fearfully, but wonderfully. So what's wonderfully? It's in a manner to excite wonder or surprise. What's the word wonder mean? Wonder means, now listen, this is good. That emotion which is excited by novelty or the presentation to the sight or mind of something new, unusual, strange, great, extraordinary, or not well understood, something that arrests the attention by its grandeur, a miracle. Now you read these verses, and like I said, we've quoted these things for years, and you look at that stuff and you say, okay, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, you know. That's pretty neat. You know, it's He that hath made us, not we ourselves, you know. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. But you start pulling all this stuff together. He made me for His pleasure. He made my ears for His pleasure, didn't He? But He didn't stop there. He made my ears in such a way that when we start understanding how He made us, we should be impressed by Him. And that's what's supposed to happen. I am confident that had these things been taught since I got saved, my attention would be a lot more toward my Creator. My understanding of Him would have been tremendously increased by now. My appreciation for His abilities would have been much greater, and hence my love for Him would have been much greater. It wouldn't be come to church and, okay, God, here's your few minutes out of the week, and then off the rest of the week, it's busy, 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 getting done what I got to do, and God is just one more of those things on the list. No, God would become the reason for the list. God would become the reason you go to work. God would become the reason you raise your children. God would become the reason you go to Walmart and buy clothes. All of a sudden, things that you do would change in perspective and purpose. Then it would be, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. So these lessons, once again, are not designed around just showing you some brand new thing that you've never seen before. And they're certainly not to impress you with what I know, because I didn't know any of this stuff until I learned it from somebody else. A few things God showed me in the middle of it to show you that this is connected to that. See how all these things work and they function? The genius, it's literally mind-boggling to me. Anyway, let's move along here. And by the way, if you get bored with any of this stuff, the reason you're bored is because you're not seeking. You're not seeking to be impressed by how He made you or surprised. Anyway, now last week, we got looking at this thing here, and that right there is that inner ear, the fluid part of the ear, and that is the petra bone that thing's made out of. And that right there is the oval window and the round window, and when that eardrum moves and three bones move through the stirrup and pushes in on that thing, it pushes pressure through and it comes out the bottom down there. That right there is the oval window. It's got a hydraulic cylinder that's moving in and out of it. You got to remember, this whole thing's about the size of a pea. But these are all mechanics. Now, up till now, this thing's been basic. You can see how these things move back and forth. But from the inside here, we're going to start converting this mechanical motion into an electronic impulse that gets fed over to the brain, and it gets really interesting. Now, this is a cutaway of what they call a bony labyrinth. And this thing over to the right-hand side is the cochlea. You ever heard of cockle shells? That's that spiral-looking thing like that. That's why they call it that. They call it a bony labyrinth because it's so complex. And these things are not just accidentally growing inside of there. Once again, God grows this thing inside of your head, attaches it to certain areas, but also has to have enough room around it for it to be able to grow and be independent inside of there. And to me, this thing is just incredible. Can you imagine being able to grow a car with all the different parts? I mean, rubber on the tires, air pressure inside of the tires already, the little old valve stems on it, the grease fittings on it, the bearings inside of the thing, the upholstery in it. Can you imagine growing a car? You're a whole lot more complex than that. You imagine growing a house and have the thing just grow and develop, and everything is where it's supposed to be, and all the different materials in that house actually continue to grow where they're supposed to grow. The copper wires follow inside of this insulation, you know, and then there's another insulation outside of it, and they go hooked to the right places, and everything is connected right. God does this stuff, and He says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. How am I going to do that, God? Don't worry about it. I took care of that. I got it all fixed up. You just go out there and enjoy yourself. I give you all things richly to enjoy. Have fun. In the third heaven, God sits back and He said, I wonder how Adam and Eve do. I'll go down there and walk with them this evening again, see how they're getting along. For His pleasure. Can you imagine walking around with God? Unfortunately, you know, they were still very, very childlike. They didn't appreciate who they were walking with. Do you appreciate who's dwelling inside of you? No. You get used to it. Anyway, moving along here. Now, these over here to the left are what they call the semicircular canals. Those things have to do with balance, position, movement, and it senses basically where you are. You got one on each side. And this is all filled with the same fluid. And when the pressure comes in there, it's pretty much equal. And like I said, that was the round hole we'd looked at before, and it kind of expands out the bottom. We got to get through about three or four or more of these because we've already looked at all of this stuff. But I wanted to start someplace that made a little bit of sense to you. Now, this Petrus bone casing is really hard, and it has to be hard because if it's not hard, then you get slight expansion of it. And so when this tiny, tiny bit of molecular movement pushes in hydraulically, if that thing could expand at all, what would happen is then it would just move slightly out and there would be no movement of fluid. This thing has to be absolutely rigid. That's why God made it such a stiff piece of bone around the outside. And they start trying to cut into them, dissect them and stuff. You're working with something the size of a pea, and then we get down into size of something that you can only see with an electron microscope. And then some of this stuff that we're talking about, they've never seen one. You say, seen one what? You never seen an electron, man. Those things are flying around the outside of those atoms, you know, molecules and stuff. They've never seen any of that stuff. They just know it's there. Well, we know God's there, don't we? He said the things that are made from things that are not seen. Anyway, you're looking at an area here in the cochlea. That's the only place that that fluid moves. The rest of that time, that fluid's not moving. It's just all pressurized. Now, the pressure will change. If you had a pressure gauge on it, you could see it actually moving up and down. But it flows through this area, and it flows through from the inport all the way through and then moves on out to that little round window that we were talking about. And it follows this spiral path all the way up to the center of this thing. It moves in the oval window, goes all the way up through to the center, makes a U-turn, and comes back down all the way around the outside. And it's a single tube, but that tube is divided into two parts, and pressure ends up in the round window. Now, it's like a spiral staircase. Now, Brother Jack got a small spiral staircase at his house. You can go up and down, but you can't go up and down at the same time. Several years ago, I went up and looked at Statue of Liberty and visited it, and they've got a really unique spiral staircase going up from the body of that statue through the neck up into the head. Because they got people going up and down at the same time on this spiral staircase going up. You say, what'd they do? Divide it in half and half the people going up, half down? Nope. There's two spirals. And you can take a spring and have another spring wound together with it in the same pattern. And you can have something going up one spring and down the other at the same time. Well, that's exactly what God's designed right here. Now, let's take a little closer look at that thing. Inside of it are two tubes. One flows in, going up. The other one flows down, coming back out. And the red one's going up. Red arrows, you can barely tell, but the red arrows are going up. And the blue ones are coming back, and it's making that U-turn right up at the top. Behind that big arrow, those things coming straight down look like kind of the stem on a mushroom. All of those are nerve endings that are feeding into this little thing. It takes all of those nerves because what's happening inside is this thing is breaking down those sound waves so that you're actually being able to hear a whole lot of different range of stuff. You take that piano or that organ and you've got all these notes. Well, how would you hear a separate note if all it was a vibration? So God not only created sound in all this wide variety for you to be able to interpret it, He has to break it all back down into individual sounds all over again. And He does it inside of this tiny, tiny little thing with this vibration in fluid of 20 cycles per second up to 20,000 cycles per second. That fluid's moving inside of there, going back and forth, just vibrating in there. And He's got to convert that into electrical impulses. Now, it just barely moves. And when you're looking at something that's the size this thing is with the tiny, tiny fluctuations of it, you realize how sensitive this thing is. How many of you ever had ringing in your ears? You think doctors get in there and kind of fix that, right? Well, I got ringing in this ear right over here right now. I've had ringing in that ear now for about a year and a half. And sometimes it goes away, sometimes it doesn't. You start pushing around at different spots around your ear and it'll get louder and quieter. You think it has something to do with your eardrum. No, it's going on inside of this thing is where the problem is. Doctor says, I can't fix that ringing in your ears. How come? Because we're dealing with stuff we barely understand. We're just now starting to be able to take pictures of it, let alone understand how to fix it. And that's really what's happening. Anyway, let's take a look at a cutaway of this thing. This is one of those tubes, and you got the red arrow on top. That's the pressure going in, and then the other side is the pressure coming back that moves back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And in between that area, you got this little triangular area. And that third part, that ear, is where all the work is done. What happens is the pressure builds up on this high side, the end pressure, and when it pulses, it deflects that little third part in the middle. That thing is movable. And so what it's doing is it's sitting in here moving back and forth like this as that fluid pressure moves. Well, you're talking about something that's moving now down to the realm of molecular movement. But all the way through this whole spiral, that whole thing, it deflects one way as it vibrates and deflects back the other way as it vibrates. If it's not doing it at least 20 times per second, your ears don't hear a thing. It can be one big bang. It could be just pressure changes. But unless it starts vibrating, it's not even registering. There's nothing. It's silent. You get dogs that hear things above your hearing range. That's because this thing is tuned to a certain frequency, and anything above that, it can't detect it. Anything below that, it can't detect it. So God uses that for filters and so forth. But anyway, you got this is the in motion. That one's the out motion. And let's get back into this center part. That's the cochlear duct, this little pipe that spins around inside of that snail shell looking bone. And that little triangular area is where everything takes place. Now, that's full of a fluid, and it's got a totally different kind of fluid in it. How come? Because it was necessary. Isn't evolution marvelous? Literally, it would be easier to believe that houses and cars evolved than to believe that your human body could have evolved. Everything that man makes out there is simple by comparison. And none of that stuff out there is alive. You have to take something that somebody else already made, kind of like the guy says, we've been able to create life. Oh, really? How do you do that? Well, first you take this dirt and this water. Wait a minute, you got to get your own dirt and water. I mean, if you're going to get anywhere near God, then you're going to have to start with nothing. So you start realizing, man, this really is what's going on in life. Now, I'm talking to a bunch of people that believe it, but you don't believe it the way you ought to believe it. How many times do you really walk around during the day or evening or whatever, function in normal daily life and realize who you really are and what's really gone on around you for thousands of years before you got here, and if the Lord tarries, will continue after you're gone? And your effect on it will be almost nothing. The only real effect you'll have is, how much pleasure did you bring your Creator? That's all that's going to come out of this thing. We brought nothing into the world, right? What do you accomplish in your life? Well, I left a legacy. God's not impressed by legacies. He is impressed by your interaction with Him, the purpose of which He made you. Anyway, let's get a little bit closer look at this thing. This moves up and down as those pressure changes take place. It deflects in there. Now, this right here is where everything's happening, in this little tiny, tiny triangular area. There's three more chambers. Even when you get into this third part in here, and this part, this whole labyrinth system, it's got three parts to it, and we're only looking at one of those, and we get inside of it, there's three more chambers. It just continues with God's design. This thing moves up and down. Now, that's the chorte, they call it. Tectral membrane up above. You got little tiny hairs connecting down into cells in this third chamber. What's happening is there's movement taking place inside of this thing. Remember I said it was moving up and down? And as it moves up and down, these little tiny hairs that you see in between, there's three and three and three and then three more on the right. There's three rows on one side, a single row on the other side. God has all that designed in. I mean, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's three of Him and one of you, basically. You say, wait a minute, there's three of me, my body, my soul, and my spirit. Oh, really? Is your body anything right now? Reckon yourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God, crucified with Christ. I'm dead unto sin. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. Is this anything to do with God? Is God interested in this body? Is He interested in my spirit? Whose spirit do I have? I got His Spirit. So what's left? Just one of me, my soul. And that's the part that He saved. That's the part He's interested in. And maybe it has something to do with He that hath ears to hear. And so He's got Father, Son, and the Spirit. All of these things up here. Jesus Christ says this. God says this. Holy Spirit influences you here. And maybe we're supposed to be responding, one of us to three of Him. I don't know. All I know is that you start looking at the Word of God and you see these things, it's got to raise some questions in your mind to think, Lord, You had purpose beyond just, oh, I think I'll throw three rows in here. Well, I think I'll just put one row in here. But anyway, this is where everything's taking place. It causes movement between this tectorial membrane, that part that's highlighted right there, and these hairs that are connecting in between it, and the cells, which are those things with the black dots in them, and they're not really good on the color here, but those black dots are the center of these cells. And what happens inside of there is there's a little valve that gets opened and closed. Just to give you a little more of an understanding of how it works, as this thing moves, you got this one piece like this tectorial membrane, you got this other piece underneath it like this. And as that thing moves, they don't move together like this. They're moving like this. Now, the slight movement, what it does, it puts these hairs under tension and compression, tension and compression, tension and compression. And that's all that's happening, is it's just putting tension on these hairs and moving back and forth. And there's thousands of these. There's 16,000 sets of these things. And each one of those have hundreds of hairs connecting back and forth. And one out at the point has movement in it. And we're going to have to quit here pretty soon, but we'll get started again in a couple weeks. And we'll get into how these hairs connecting from top and bottom and the movement in those hairs start translating into an electrical impulse. And most of this stuff, they are just now starting to understand. They haven't been able to understand this stuff. They couldn't get in there and dissect something. How do you cut into something that's so small you can't even see it except with an electron microscope? I can't imagine how many of them they cut open. They showed us those pictures at one time of that laminin, and they get pictures of that. And what they're showing you is this twisty looking thing that looks a little bit like that, and then they draw a picture of it. That right there is an artist rendering of what's going on inside. How come? Because once you see the electron microscope dissecting some of this stuff, the electron microscope is barely capable of picking up these hairs after they cut this tectorial membrane off. And that's as close as they can get, as they're looking down to where they cut this whole piece off, and then you'll see the rows of the hairs and all that. But the rest of this stuff, it's mind-boggling how God designed this thing. It just is. And I hope you get a little bit more appreciation for the one that made you. And when He says in the future, there's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and the former things won't be remembered nor come to mind, and there'll be no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, nor sickness. His abilities to produce an environment like that. Because He makes this stuff here. It's He that hath made us, not we ourselves, and before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And then He doesn't have any problem at all with saying, Noah, you better get in that boat because I'm going to kill every one of them. Now, what kind of a creator is that that'd go to all that trouble to make all that stuff and then just destroy it? We don't destroy the stuff we make. You know why? Because our purpose is different than His purpose. His purpose is pleasure. You know what His purpose for making you like this was? In a manner to excite wonder and surprise. Wonder is that emotion which is excited by something novel or new or unusual or strange or great or extraordinary. And the people that study this stuff, by the time they're done, they're blown away with whatever made it. Even the lost people are like, man, I can't believe this. How this stuff grows from two cells. And it all starts with this cell dividing into this cell, dividing into this cell, dividing into this cell. Next thing you know, that cell now is different from that one. That one's different from that one. And the fluid's different from this, and the hairs are different from that. There's a gelatinous substance between these holding it all together. It's not just hanging in midair. He put like a thick jello in there to hold it all together. Pretty soon you start realizing God really must know what He's doing. There's no doubt about it. Let's close in prayer.